What if the way we interact with technology could transform how we make decisions? In our upcoming lesson, we will explore the fascinating world of collaborative filtering, where algorithms can predict what you might like based on others' preferences. By the end of this session, you'll have a solid understanding of how these systems function, their challenges, and effective strategies for implementation. Get ready to unlock the potential of personalized recommendations. In this lesson, we will delve into the intricacies of collaborative filtering, starting with an understanding of how it works by analyzing real-world examples from platforms like Amazon, Netflix, and Spotify. You'll learn how user similarity is measured to enhance item recommendations based on shared preferences. Next, we will evaluate the challenges posed by high-dimensional data and missing values, focusing on the effectiveness of similarity measures such as Manhattan and Euclidean distances. This will segue into an exploration of the Minkowski distance metric, which generalizes these concepts while providing deeper insight into user ratings. We'll then compare Pearson correlation and cosine similarity to assess their suitability for both sparse and dense datasets. Finally, you will master the application of k-nearest neighbors by calculating weighted influence and projected ratings derived from similarity scores, while also identifying the scalability and sparsity challenges present in user-based collaborative filtering compared to item-based filtering. Get ready to enhance your understanding of these essential concepts. Now for something important: recommendation systems. In our daily lives, platforms like Amazon, Netflix, and Spotify utilize user preferences to suggest products, movies, and music tailored just for you. This collaborative filtering technique is about identifying users with tastes similar to yours and suggesting items they enjoyed, which you haven't discovered yet. To visualize this concept, let's consider a simple setup with two books, Brave Hearts of Bharat and Snakes in the Ganga, rated on a 5-star scale from 1 to 5. For example, Mr. Misty has given Snakes in the Ganga a 4-star rating and Brave Hearts a 2-star rating. By calculating proximity, we can locate the closest user, like Raj, and recommend the books he enjoyed that Mr. Misty has yet to read. This all highlights a key question: how do we define similarity between users to ensure we create reliable and trustworthy recommendations? Let's break down the complexities of understanding distances in the context of missing ratings. First, we need to focus on the importance of computing distances over co-rated items only. By using only the bands that both users rated, we avoid unfairly penalizing distances due to missing entries. However, this brings us to an illustrative example of skew from dimensionality. For instance, when comparing ML5 to ML8, they share only 2 bands, whereas ML5 and ML6 share 5, which complicates direct distance comparisons between these pairs. Next, consider the sensitivity of Manhattan versus Euclidean distances. With fewer shared ratings, the appearances of these distances can be misleadingly small and may exaggerate perceived similarities. This leads us to a key implication. These distance measures are most effective when ratings are complete. When values are missing, they distort cross-pair comparisons, making interpretation challenging. Lastly, the practical takeaway here is that managing missingness is not straightforward. It requires thoughtful handling rather than merely discarding unrated bands. Understanding the nuances of user-user differences leads us to a compelling framework, the Minkowski distance. By setting R equal to 1, we derive the Manhattan distance, while an R of 2 results in the familiar Euclidean distance. Both of these are unique cases under the broader Minkowski umbrella. As we interpret user ratings, consider that X and Y represent individual users, with their ratings for shared items denoted as X underscore I and Y underscore I. The number of items rated by both contributes to a deeper insight into their preferences. An interesting aspect to explore is the effect of varying R values. As R increases, it magnifies the significance of a single large difference when compared to several smaller divergences. In the extreme case, when R approaches infinity, we encounter what's known as the superhero distance, where the distance reflects only the largest single item gap, highlighting stark contrasts in user preferences. Ultimately, the choice of R can greatly influence how we interpret the relationships between users, whether smoothing over minor differences with a smaller R or emphasizing those standout disagreements with a larger R. Now for something important, let's discuss the role of Pearson in our recommendation system. Users rate their preferences on various scales, and Pearson helps us center these ratings, focusing on the order rather than absolute values. For instance, imagine Alok, who predominantly rates between 4 and 5, and Robbie, who uses a range from 1 to 5. They both agree on the ranking of items. B5 ranks higher than B1, which in turn ranks above B4 and WA, demonstrating perfect alignment despite their different scales. When we interpret the correlation coefficient, it ranges from negative 1 to 1, with 1 indicating perfect agreement and negative 1 showing complete disagreement. In practical terms, Pearson can be employed to identify the user whose preferences closely align with the target user, especially when there is substantial data with overlapping items. This method becomes particularly valuable in dense data sets where users tend to interact with many similar items. Let's explore the concept of using cosine similarity for analyzing sparse, high-dimensional data. First, it's important to understand that this approach compares the angle, not the magnitude, of two vectors. This means that heavy listeners and light listeners with similar tastes will appear alike in their preferences. Additionally, cosine similarity cleverly ignores shared zeros or zero-zero matches, which is particularly beneficial in ultra-sparse environments where most tracks remain unplayed by both users. The method offers an interpretable range, where a score of 1 indicates identical tastes, 0 represents orthogonal preferences, and negative 1 signifies opposing interests. A practical illustration of this concept is found in the Pummy, Summy, and Hummy intuition, where, despite their play count vectors often being filled with zeros across many tracks, the focus on a few non-zero overlaps can effectively gauge taste alignment. Lastly, it's essential to recognize when to prefer cosine over Pearson. While cosine shines in sparse data, Pearson correlation is typically better for dense, explicit ratings where personal biases must be accounted for. Let's break down the key factors in choosing the right similarity measure. First, if you suspect that ratings show grade inflation or users are applying personal scales, Pearson correlation is your best bet. It centers the ratings relative to each user's mean, effectively reducing scale bias, but be cautious. It requires a sufficient number of co-ratings to be reliable. Meanwhile, when the data is dense and rating magnitudes are significant, consider Manhattan or Euclidean distance. However, be wary of the pitfalls with few co-ratings. In cases where you have AB and AC, naive distance calculations can lead to counterintuitive results, potentially suggesting that A's proximity to C is closer than to B. Lastly, while using average distance workarounds on sparse data, remember that they don't resolve zero assignment issues and tend to struggle with minimal overlap. Next up, let's explore the k-nearest neighbor approach for recommendations using a real example. We begin by identifying the top three neighbors for Pummy, which are Hummy with the Pearson similarity of 0.8, Neil at 0.7, and Aman at 0.5. This gives us a total similarity of 2.0. Next, we normalize these similarities to derive influence shares. Hummy's share is 0.40, Neil's is 0.35, and Aman's is 0.25, ensuring that the shares sum to 1. Now we bring in the ratings for band X. Hami rates it 3.5, Neil rates it 5.0, and Aman gives it 4.5. By applying the influence weights, we calculate each contribution. Hami's weighted contribution is 1.40, Neil's is 1.75, and Aman's is 1.125. Finally, summing these contributions, we find the projected rating for Pami on band X is 4.275. It's also crucial to note that K is specific to the application. Changes in K can alter the neighbors and result in different weighted estimates. Let's explore the concept of explicit ratings in our discussion on recommendation systems. Feedback is essential, and explicit ratings are direct insights a user voluntarily shares about an item. These typically come in several forms, such as a binary thumbs up or down, star ratings on a scale from 1 to 5, or simple likes on social networks. Since these ratings are intentionally submitted by users, they serve as a clear indicator of preferences with no need for interpretation. Systems collect this preference data to help guide content rankings and tailor recommendations. It's important to note that explicit ratings differ significantly from implicit signals. While explicit ratings are consciously provided, implicit signals are inferred from user behavior. In this section, we will cover the concept of implicit ratings within recommendation systems. Implicit ratings are derived from users' actions such as their clicks, views, and purchases, rather than from explicit feedback. This allows us to understand user interests without requiring them to provide direct input. The significance of these ratings lies in their ability to create user profiles effortlessly, facilitating large-scale personalization that enhances user experience. For instance, The Times of India leverages implicit ratings by tracking users' section clicks, like technology or health and fitness, along with their ad click-throughs. This data helps infer their topical interests, whether in fitness-related content or tech articles. Similarly, Amazon utilizes co-view patterns, where customers who viewed titles like Jupiter's Travels also explored Long Way Round. This relationship helps recommend related items based on observed user behavior, showcasing the power of implicit ratings in actionable suggestions. Next, let's examine the recommendation systems utilized by Amazon. First, we have the frequently bought together feature. This approach leverages purchase co-occurrence to suggest items that complement each other, enhancing customer convenience. Following that, we look at browsing history-based displays. These personalized carousels showcase items associated with your recent views, tailoring what you see based on the preferences of users with similar browsing habits. Now let's discuss the strengths of these systems. They require no explicit ratings from users, as there is a wealth of signals generated through browsing and purchasing activities, allowing for real-time updates. However, there are limitations to consider. Since user intent is inferred from observed behavior rather than explicit feedback, it can sometimes be ambiguous, and the quality of signals may fluctuate based on various actions taken. Understanding recommendation systems brings us to some critical challenges they face. First up is the issue of low participation or coverage gap. Most users simply don't take the time to rate items, which leaves large portions of the catalog unrated and reduces the signal available for making meaningful recommendations. Next, we encounter the problem of inaccurate or partial input, which poses a reliability risk. Often, ratings are vague, rushed, or incomplete, failing to truly reflect users' preferences and leading to misleading conclusions. Another significant concern is stale ratings that go unupdated. As opinions change, ratings should reflect those shifts, but often they do not. For example, a 1 TB hard drive might receive 5 stars when it's new, but if it fails a month later, that rating remains unchanged, potentially misleading future users. We should also consider self-selection bias. Those who take the time to rate items aren't a representative subset of all users. Instead, they tend to be those with strong feelings, either positive or negative. This skews the observed signal toward extremes, further distorting our understanding. Finally, the impact on system performance cannot be ignored. When the data is unreliable and sparse, it weakens similarity computations and degrades the overall quality of recommendations when compared to richer implicit signals. Addressing these challenges is essential for enhancing the effectiveness of recommendation systems. Understanding the challenges of recommendation systems leads us to explore some critical issues they face. First, we have scalability, where the computational demands increase dramatically as the user base grows. With 1 million users, generating recommendations can involve nearly 1 million similarity computations, resulting in significant latency. Next, throughput pressure at serving time emerges. When multiple recommendations are needed per second, this process becomes a bottleneck, slowing down the entire system. Additionally, we encounter the problem of sparsity, where most users have rated only a small fraction of items, leading to too few overlapping ratings for effective user-to-user recommendations. Lastly, the practical impact of this becomes evident when comparing user-based and item-based methods. User-based systems struggle significantly when the number of users far exceeds the number of items, while item-based approaches can benefit from denser, reusable signals among fewer items. Together, these challenges highlight the complexities within recommendation systems and the need for innovative solutions. In this chapter, we will delve into the fascinating world of recommendation systems. The core idea revolves around pre-computing the similarities between items, enabling us to recommend items that align closely with what a user has liked or rated highly. This process begins by identifying the top-end similar items for each item, and then we weight these similarities based on the user's ratings to generate targeted recommendation scores. Now, it's important to understand how this method contrasts with user-based memory approaches. User-based filtering seeks out similar users and relies on storing all their ratings, while item-based strategies utilize an item-item similarity model and do not require retaining every single rating. This distinction is crucial as it highlights the robustness and efficiency of item-based systems in generating meaningful recommendations. Moving forward, let's explore why item-based recommendation systems scale better. One key reason is that item similarities can change slowly over time and can be cached. This significantly reduces the need for real-time computation, as we don't have to search for similar users repeatedly. Next, it's important to highlight that item-based systems are robust under sparsity. Even when there are few overlapping users, many items still exhibit shared co-occurrence or rating patterns. This makes item-item similarity more dependable than relying on user-user matches. To illustrate this, let's consider a concrete example. If a user rates item A highly and item A is very similar to item B, we can confidently recommend item B without needing ratings from many users who are similar to the initial user. This showcases the efficiency and effectiveness of item-based recommendation systems in providing relevant suggestions. Next up, let's explore the intricacies of how recommendation systems operate. These models analyze various attributes of items, such as melodic phrasing, instrumentation, and tonality, allowing them to suggest similar music without merely relying on the listening habits of others. For instance, when you enjoy a song on YouTube Music, it quickly recommends other tracks that share musical characteristics, enhancing your discovery experience without depending on popular trends. Diving into specifics, Pandora's Music Genome Project enriches this process by employing human analysts to tag songs with unique genes. These genes may include features like repetitive melodic phrasing, mixed instrumentation, or distinctive guitar riffs. This attribute-driven approach enables the system to highlight lesser-known tracks, sidestepping the usual popularity bias, which often sidelines hidden gems. Lastly, the system tackles the cold start problem effectively. Brand new songs can be recommended as soon as their attributes are known, eliminating the wait for user ratings or purchase history. Now let's delve into some key challenges faced by recommendation systems. First, we encounter feature scale mismatch. In our example, age ranges from 25 to 53, while salaries run from 43,000 to 125,000. This disparity creates unequal influence during calculations. Next is the issue of distance domination. When using distance measures like Euclidean or Manhattan, the significant numerical range of salary often overshadows age, leading to salary differences driving the match score. This brings us to unreasonable outcomes. Imagine a scenario where a 53-year-old is recommended to a 25-year-old purely because their salaries are closely aligned, despite a significant age gap. Such mismatches are counterintuitive and can skew user experiences. At this point, we must consider visual intuition versus metrics. Intuitively, we might believe similar ages with comparable salaries should match better. However, raw distance metrics can tell a different story, often favoring the more dominant feature salary. Finally, it's crucial to address a general pitfall and remedy. This is a common failure in distance-based recommenders, indicating that normalization of features before calculating distances is essential. By taking this step, we ensure that each attribute contributes proportionally to the overall calculation, leading to more accurate and relevant recommendations. Now let's discuss the importance of normalization in data processing. First, it's crucial to understand why we need to normalize our data. Distance-based methods can be distorted when features operate on drastically different scales, such as comparing price to the number of bedrooms. Next, we can utilize min-max scaling, which maps each feature to a range between 0 and 1. This technique is effective as it preserves relative ordering and establishes bounded ranges for each feature. Another method is the standard score, also known as Z-score, which centers the data by the mean and scales by the standard deviation. However, keep in mind that this method is sensitive to outliers that can skew results. For a more robust approach, consider using a modified Z-score. This strategy replaces the mean with the median and standard deviation with absolute deviation, reducing the influence of outliers significantly. Finally, remember to apply normalization whenever working with distance-based methods, especially when feature scales differ significantly. This ensures that each dimension contributes appropriately, leading to more accurate outcomes in your analyses. Let's explore the concept of classifiers as we delve into recommendation systems. A classifier is a program that assigns objects to labeled classes based on their attributes. This process depends on previously labeled data, allowing the classifier to learn how to make inferences and classify new, unlabeled objects. Consider the music industry. By analyzing song attributes like tempo and instrumentation, we can effectively classify tracks according to their genre or mood. Moving to social media, classifiers play a crucial role in evaluating Twitter sentiment, enabling us to categorize tweets as positive, negative, or neutral, thereby tracking public opinion in real time. In the realm of politics, classifiers help in group voters by their predicted preferences, allowing for tailored messages and targeted advertising strategies. Finally, the quantified self movement leverages wearable sensor data to classify individual patterns of activity stress or health risks, fostering personal monitoring for everyone. Let's explore the significant applications of recommendation systems. First, we have face recognition, a technology that automatically identifies people in photos by matching facial features to known profiles. Next, targeted marketing utilizes this concept by segmenting customers and predicting their responses to offers, ensuring personalized outreach that resonates. Another critical application is terrorism classification, which flags individuals or content as terrorist or non-terrorist based on specific behaviors or signals. Moving into communication, email filtering plays a key role by assigning emails to important, regular, or spam folders, effectively reducing inbox noise. In healthcare settings, medical outcome prediction can significantly influence patient care by forecasting clinical outcomes, thus supporting early interventions and resource planning. Finally, we have fraud detection, which identifies anomalous transactions in near real time, such as credit card fraud, helping to protect consumers and institutions alike. This range of applications shows how recommendation systems transform various sectors by leveraging data-driven insights. To summarize our discussion on recommendation systems, we first explored the concept of collaborative filtering. This approach allows us to understand user and item similarities to make effective recommendations. Next, we delved into similarity measures, particularly highlighting Pearson correlation and cosine similarity, which are essential for accurate filtering. We then differentiated between explicit and implicit ratings, acknowledging the importance of understanding both direct user feedback and inferred preferences. Additionally, we addressed the challenges in filtering, such as scalability and sparsity issues associated with user-based filtering. Lastly, we examined item-based filtering, emphasizing its reliance on item attributes and normalization for improving recommendations. These key points will be valuable as you apply these principles to future projects in recommendation systems.